Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
If it were simply Jesus baptizing, there really wouldn't be an issue. One man baptizing is easily dealt with, easily arrested. His head fits nicely on a platter. Jesus baptizes no one. Instead, his disciples are a dozen a dime, and they are out baptizing everyone. When the likes of Nicodemus become aware of this fact, Jesus fears for his disciples' safety. Thus, it is necessary for Jesus to travel through Samaria. What is rather striking is that John's Good Samaritan is a woman, the one whom Jesus meets at the well. Commentators, young and old, do not seem to like her very much. Each word is parsed in favor of their predisposed derogatory viewpoint. Sarcasm somehow slips into the crevices and nuances of ancient Greek. "Is this not the Christ?" she says, beginning her question with a meti, which expects a negative response. Obviously, she has no faith, they say. This, of course, is not the way that Jesus sees her, and his grammatical analysis may be the only one that matters. "Give me a drink," Jesus asks her, as he collapses into a heap, wearied from the journey. "How is it that you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink?" "If you knew the gift of God, dear one, and me, I would give you living water." "Lord, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." "Go and call your husband." "I have no husband." It is true. Not that she hasn't sought a husband, tried time and again to woo a husband. It's just that once the sweet promises of pillow talk turn sour, once the reputation forms, once the lowly status is accepted, she has little hope of obtaining a husband, of being pure again. Yet, she obeys Jesus. She goes anyway. She drops her water jar, forsakes her vocation, and runs breathlessly to tell her friends and her lovers about this new one, this Christ. "Can this not be the Christ?" she says. Far from a lack of faith, she is baiting her audience. "Go and call your husband," her Lord had commanded her. "Indeed, come and see a man who told me all that I ever did." She beckons to anyone, to everyone who would listen. Her words are compelling. This Christ knows her. He knows her past. Instead of a prophetic admonition, he showers upon her compassion. She is acquainted with insincerity. Her track record breeds familiarity in this category. She knows falsehood, and there is no deceit in him. "He knows everything about me," she said, "all that I ever did." Yet he speaks to her of living water, of eternal life, of hope, of being pure again. The apostles return, yet Jesus sits intently, silently at the well, infatuated with his newfound Samaritan. A firestorm is brewing. His apostles are less than enamored with her, and who can blame them? They order him, saying, "Rabbi, eat. Come back to your senses. Pay attention to anything but her." Yet Jesus still sits there at the well, looking in her direction, waiting, pining. "I have food to eat, thank you. I'm fine," he responds distractedly. He is elsewhere, and the fire is now ablaze. "Who has given him food to eat?" demand the disciples, questioning one another, interrogating one another, keeping his focus on her departure point, not even turning his head. Jesus mutters, "My food is to do the will of my Father. Save the bread for the 5,000 to come. I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white with harvest." Christ builds it, and his fields come. The Samaritan woman sows, and Jesus reaps. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony, but they stick around because of Jesus' own words. What is it about this woman that makes the apostles uncomfortable and modern-day commentators seek to cast her in such a negative light? It may be as simple as faith, personal faith. As much as we would like to control it, personal faith in Christ is beyond our control. Look at the word preached. Sprinkle with what you assume to be law in one paragraph, gospel in another, and the average listener, more times than not, will find Christ where he needs to anyway. Sometimes where we assumed, sometimes not. You see, the Spirit blows where he wishes, and he blows the Samaritan woman right back to Jesus, right back to the well. And that's the problem. The faith of others tends to make us uncomfortable. How about you? What is your reaction to Christ's Samaritan woman? Rustic charm inculcates our parishes, driven by the kind of personal faith which this Samaritan woman shows us at the well. The opportunity to degrade, to disdain will tempt us all. You want this, church, Jesus? Have you seen what passes for her Samaritan worship practices? Do you know her past? In fact, some of our apostolic forefathers have recently sought out more lavishly dressed women, well-perfumed and incensed, with an impressive bloodline. Ginger, if you will, to the typical LCMS congregation's Marianne. When these, our fallen brothers, have finished chasing their ginger, they will find that if she is more than a figment, she is the same Samaritan woman sitting at the well with Jesus. She has the same profane life. Christ has one bride, one love, with the same checkered past, with the same peculiar personal faith in her Lord, and to him, to Jesus, she is breathtakingly beautiful. He is so captivated with her, so in love with her, that he can't eat, he can't drink. He has her singularly in mind. What thoughts do you think were running through Jesus' mind as he was flogged, as his divine flesh was torn from bone on that whipping post in Jerusalem? What images raced through his mind when nails left their indelible eternal mark on his hands and feet? After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill Scripture, "I thirst. Give me a drink." Why is it that you, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, ask for a drink from me? Finding a jar, his perfect lips are wetted with the bitterness of Samaritanism, of adultery, of this world. I believe that as he hung, dying on his cross, he had Jacob's well in mind, his Samaritan woman and her sin-scarred life. Christ has his harvest in mind, ripened, purified, watered from his riven side. He has your soon-to-be flock with their peculiar Samaritan flavor in mind. Jesus thinks only of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.